Today, how you can help save innocent lives on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is my Vice Chairman, co-host, fellow analyst, and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Well, it's always good to get together and have a chat and let other people in on it.
Absolutely. Well, today, folks, we're going to be chatting probably about one of the most important pieces of legislation we know. And we're talking about something that you probably are fairly familiar with if you've been paying any attention at all over the last 6 to 8 months. It's House Bill 125, commonly known as the Heartbeat Bill. Now, a disclaimer up front, I am one of the founding group of people who came up with this piece of legislation and brought it before our Ohio elected officials. So I'm a little biased about this piece of legislation. For those of you who don't know, the Heartbeat Bill, House Bill 125, is a bill that would say basically that if a heartbeat is detected in an unborn child at the earliest stages, then that baby cannot be aborted. Our slogan is, if the heartbeat is detected, the baby is protected. Now, this bill has gone through the Ohio House already, passed in June of this year on a 54-44 vote with over 50 co-sponsors, a very significant piece of legislation sponsored by Representative Lynn Watchman from the Northwest Ohio area up around Napoleon. Now, House Bill 125 would spell out that an abortionist would have to, prior to performing any abortion, would search and detect for, using standard medical procedures, a heartbeat in the unborn child. And if a fetal heartbeat is detected, then that doctor is prohibited by law with felony penalties for violating it if he performs an abortion and takes the life of that unborn baby. This bill is fairly straightforward. However, the philosophy behind it and some of the strategies have generated quite a bit of controversy here in Ohio among groups that call themselves pro-life. And Chuck, I want you to weigh in here just a little bit on this whole thing, because I don't want to monopolize the entire time we have today on this.
No, and you're right. It has generated some controversy, although the reasons why remain very obscure. No one has a real objection to what this bill is trying to do. One group says it doesn't go far enough, and another group says it goes too far too fast. I don't know exactly how saving infants can go too far too fast. I can understand that there is something to an argument it doesn't go far enough, but I don't think it's legitimate at this point, because in the past, a number of these bills have been basically, you can see an ultrasound of your baby and then you can kill it.
Yeah, well, you know, what we've had before is and honestly, when you're dealing with pro-life legislation, ladies and gentlemen, what you end up having is you have two strategies. You either have an all-out strategy of we have to end it right now, end Roe v. Wade right away, and abortion is totally outlawed, or you have an incremental strategy, which says we'll only go as far as the courts will allow us to go. Now, Chuck, those two extremes you talked about there who are opposed to this bill, one believes that if we don't do everything all at once, then it's compromise. And the other group believes that if we do any more than the court has told us it's okay to do, the U.S. Supreme Court has told us it's okay to do, then it could set us back and it could throw back everything and it would be horrible. Well, folks, the heartbeat bill actually is an incremental bill, because it doesn't totally end abortion. I'll admit that right up front. But what it does do is save, and this is according to Dr. Jack Wilkie, who is the founder of Ohio and National Right to Life, the father of the pro-life movement, who testified in favor of the heartbeat bill, that this bill would save 95% of the babies being aborted today in Ohio. 95% with one piece of legislation. To put that in perspective, another piece of legislation was passed by the General Assembly earlier in the spring that would have moved the line for prohibiting abortions to post-viability. If once the baby is considered viable, could live on its own outside the womb, then there were restrictions on whether or not you could abort the child. That bill is projected to potentially save up to 200 lives per year in Ohio. This is from the sponsor of the bill's own testimony. 200 lives to be saved from that bill, which is the incremental strategy of, well, the courts have said we can go up to this line, so that's where we're going to go to. The heartbeat bill, which would protect the child from the moment a heartbeat is detectable, would save 26,000 unborn babies in Ohio alone every year. Now, that's 26,000 versus 200. Yes, it's an incremental bill, but the increment is a significant step. And the reason why is that the courts will not change their mind on their decisions unless they're invited to do so. And if you only pass bills that the courts have said you're allowed to pass, they're never invited to change their mind.
One of the big organizations who is in opposition to this, actually both of them, because they're operating on each other's talking points, which has really been a disappointment for those of us who have some respect for some of the people who are in the non-incrementalist camp, at least for their arguments. We've been very disappointed to see that they're operating off the talking points. And one of those talking points is this will, quote unquote, if it goes to court, it will reaffirm Roe versus Wade. To that argument, I would have to say the problem being, Barry, that every time a child is aborted, Roe versus Wade is reaffirmed.
That's right. You know, it's a specious argument, Chuck. You know, one of the things I've heard from the other group that has come out in opposition to this bill, although now they're saying they're neutral on the bill, and we know that that's a lie. And honestly, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just not going to give you the name of the group. I think if you've been following this, you know who I'm talking about. But honestly, I'm to the point where I want to focus on the bill. On one hand, this group says it's the right bill, it's just the wrong time to do it. On the other hand, then they say, well, no, the bill's unconstitutional and will set us back. Same group, same analysis. Two entirely different answers on why they oppose this bill. If it is the right bill, then I'm assuming that it's not unconstitutional and won't set us back. But if it's unconstitutional, how could it be the right bill and just be the wrong time? Something doesn't equate with that answer. Now, to get us up to speed, the bill passed the House in June. The Senate, and if you've been paying attention lately, you'll find out that the Senate President, Tom Niehaus, had been sitting on the bill and not assigning it to committee. But after quite a bit of encouragement, including television ads being run in districts of members of the House or the Senate Republican caucus, Senate President Niehaus just this last week assigned the bill to the Senate Health, Human Services, and Aging Committee, chaired by Senator Scott Olslager from Canton. The bill is scheduled for a hearing tomorrow, Wednesday afternoon, on December the 7th at 2:30 p.m. in the Senate Health, Human Services, and Aging Committee. It's marked for the sponsor, Representative Watchman, to come in and give testimony. It's marked for proponents of the bill, which would include groups like Cincinnati Right to Life, Citizens for Community Values, the Institute for Principled Policy, Ohio Pro-Life Action, and others to come in and testify. I believe two-thirds of the state local Right to Life chapters endorse and support this bill. So there are going to be a lot of people testifying in support of this piece of legislation. The attorneys who helped write the bill will be there to testify. Medical professionals, as a matter of fact, what we did in the House and what's going to happen in the Senate is a live ultrasound of a pregnant woman is going to be given to the committee right there in the committee room. We're going to have a doctor in there. We're going to have a pregnant woman, and we're going to have a Doppler live video ultrasound so that you can see and hear this baby and its heartbeat for the committee member. And interested parties are going to be testifying as well. So we're going to see quite a bit of action. This is going to be a long afternoon, probably stretching way into evening on this bill. What we're asking you folks to do is call your state senator. Now, that's for this area, it's Senator Tim Schaefer. And Senator Schaefer, I'm going to say, has been supportive of this bill through the process. He has always said that he supports this piece of legislation and he's looking forward to voting for it. So just call him up and support him and thank him for his support of House Bill 125.
One of the things that I like about the fact is that you're using technology to show people that this is really a human life. One of the problems in Roe v. Wade was, if you've read the decision, and it is a masterpiece of bad legal reasoning, and I really mean bad legal reasoning. And essentially what it says is, we don't know for sure when life begins, but until we figure that out, you can just end abortions willy-nilly. Our assumption will be that it's not human life until the baby's born. What you're basically doing with the heartbeat bill is attempting to move where that definition of life is back to a place where the infant has a beating heart.
Absolutely.
And you're using technology that basically the other side claims tilts the scales in their direction. Well, clearly they don't, because very often a detectable heartbeat is exceedingly early in the pregnancy. And in fact, oftentimes women don't know they're pregnant yet when their infant has a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, usually to detect the heartbeat, a presence of a heartbeat can be as early as, I believe, like 14 to 18 days into the pregnancy, to the point where the heartbeat is there where you can detect it with standard medical equipment practices, whether it be with a stethoscope or whether it be with an ultrasound or a Doppler ultrasound, is somewhere in the 4 to 6 weeks of gestation period. So again, as much as we would all wish to end it outright right now, this bill doesn't go that far, but it does move the line beyond just post-viability back to the first indicator of sustainable life. See, the first indicator of a being able to live is to have a heartbeat. All the medical journals, all the medical texts understand that a presence of a heartbeat is the strongest indicator of the viability and life of that being.
Yeah, we have to be careful because sustainability is another one of those loaded words that
it can
that
be,
really yeah. It's one of those things that gives legal experts fits because it doesn't have any definition. Sustainable, that means, you know, sustainability, quote unquote, right now is down to somewhere in the vicinity of 24 or 23 weeks. Infants can be taken that early and can be, through heroic efforts, brought to live a full adult life.
Full term, but a heartbeat is the best single indicator of
life. Absolutely.
And of a positive full-term birth as well. If there's strong heartbeat, there's a strong indication that the child's going to be able to make it through the gestation period and into live birth. So, you know, folks, Ohio would have the strongest pro-life laws in the nation with the passage of House Bill 125. Again, we've had a very large battle in getting it to this point because of the opposition of groups who should be rejoicing over the fact that we're taking the step to protect tens of thousands of innocent children per year instead of just protecting a couple of hundred. It's okay to, and you know, we support all those other efforts, but the point is,
oh, absolutely,
we have to take that initiative now while God has got the door open. There are many reasons, and I'm not going to go into all of them here on the program, but there are many reasons why we believe God has opened doors now for this bill to make it all the way to the Supreme Court. And folks, let's not kid ourselves. This will be challenged probably by Planned Parenthood and NARAL once it's passed. Who knows? It might even be challenged legally by some of these other pro-life groups who don't agree with the strategy. But you know you're going to get a district court hearing in federal court. You know it'll be appealed regardless of the outcome up to the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which covers Ohio, and you know that it'll be appealed to the United States Supreme Court by either side on the issue, regardless of the outcome, whether it's found constitutional or not constitutional. It'll continue to be appealed until this is brought before the United States Supreme Court, and they're invited to review where they stand on the issue of life. And our indications are, we believe the votes are there to make this a reality. And if we can do it in Ohio, there's at least 12 other states right now, Chuck, that are poised and ready to go as soon as this bill passes. And we've heard from the Senate president that now he's indicating that they were going to try to vote it out of the Senate before the end of this year. If that can happen and we get a bill that we can take to our governor to sign, 12 other states will be introducing this particular piece of legislation come January. We will have a wave of states looking to protect innocent life in the strongest way possible, outside of totally outlawing abortion, which we know we've tried. They tried it in Mississippi. They tried it in Colorado, you know, with personhood amendments. And then, sadly, those things have been turned back by the voters, and they're not successful with those. We believe this is the strategy that is going to lead us to the success of finally seeing the pegs be knocked out from under Roe versus Wade. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we'd ask for your prayers. We'd ask for your support. Call your state senator. Call a list of them. Now, Senator Schaefer, who I said is amenable to this and he's friendly, his number is 614-466-5838. That's 614-466-5838. And thank him for his support of House Bill 125, the heartbeat bill. There is a group that's out there that have said that the only way they can support this bill, this is one of the opposition groups, the incrementalist opposition group, the only way they can support this bill is if the protections are stripped out and it becomes an informed consent piece only. In other words, the abortionist would detect for the heartbeat, tell the woman, but if she said yes to the abortion, the baby could still be murdered in the womb. That would not happen with House Bill 125. Once that heartbeat is detected, that baby is protected because we understand that that is a unique, separate individual life that deserves the protection of our state laws from the moment of a detectable heartbeat.
And with that, we're way out of time, so join us again tomorrow for more Principles and Policies at 5:30.